There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Wednesday. Glad to have you all along. Live local talk this hour. And, yeah, we talked about a lot this morning. The upcoming session, this is going to be, I think this is going to be a doozy. There's a lot of cans that were kicked down the road last year. A lot of whatever cliched metaphor we want to use. A lot of chickens coming home to roost, whatever it is. It's going to be busy, and it's going to be interesting, and that's why we're glad to talk to Todd Stacey from the Alabama Daily News, and he's got a big announcement for us as well. Hey, Todd, Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year to you, Sean. How's everything?
Man, we're good, and we're moving right along here in 2019, which moves us even closer to session in Montgomery, and you have a little, before we get into some of the stories about the upcoming session, you're going to be reporting on this with some backup here. You brought the old pro in on this.
That's right. We're really happy to announce that Mary Sell is going to be coming on board for Alabama Daily News. She's joining our team for this 2019 regular session. She'll be reporting and editing for our news team. So we've actually got a reporter for the House and a reporter for the Senate, and she'll kind of coordinate those and edit them and everything. And those that don't know Mary Sell's name, she has been a reporter in the State House for Montgomery for years and years. She's, matter of fact, she's probably one of the most experienced out there. Most recently for the Times Daily up in Florence and the Decatur Daily. But she's reported for the Advertiser before. She's been around and knows her stuff. And so we're really excited about that. And what we're doing is we're going beyond just the Alabama Daily News site to begin to offer our news to outlets statewide, newspapers, television, maybe radio.
Mm-hmm.
We're really excited about that. You know, the press corps has dwindled by so much. If you just looked at it 10 years ago to now, it probably has fallen off by 8 or 10 people. As people, you know, the news business is just very competitive and cutthroat. Well, I wanted to reverse that trend. So we're bringing people back to the press corps. I think we need more reporters covering the state legislature and all of the government, not fewer. And so we're really happy to be bringing Mary on and excited about it.
Well, and I'm excited about it as well. And I'll say this, and this may be something that should have been done during Festivus with airing of the grievances. But, you know, I've said this many times on the show that it bothers me when people are more engaged and informed in what goes on. Not that they shouldn't be engaged and informed in Washington, but they are more engaged and informed in Washington by a logarithmic amount than they are what goes on right here in their home state. You'll talk to people and they can talk, you know, up one side of the building, down the other, about national politics, but you ask them something that's coming up in Montgomery and you get a blank stare. And I think that's the fact that there's not the people reporting anymore on that.
I could not agree more. You're so right. And part of it is just the nature of news. You know, people get riled up about national politics. It's easier to follow.
Yep.
You know, Fox News makes it pretty easy to see what's going on. Obviously, you've got, three C-SPAN channels and all that. So, I mean, there's just so much coming out of Washington that typically people just sort of follow that. But I'll tell you, the decisions that are made in Montgomery in that state house are going to affect your life 10 times more, than mm-hmm. whatever's done in D.C. Now, the D.C. doesn't matter. Look, I've worked in Washington. That matters a great deal. But at the end of the day, what happens in the state house really is going to affect your life, especially with some of these issues we're talking about now, talking about road projects, talking about lottery, talking about these, you know, how to fund the very basic services we're talking about and or that we depend on. So, yeah, I couldn't agree more, and that's why I'm really excited to be adding to that. You know, we've dwindled. It's been eroded, that news coverage, for so long. Well, it's time to beef it back up. And I think by covering the news fair and balanced and in a way that makes sense to people, we can have a lot more readers and a lot more engagement.
I'm glad you're doing that. Yeah, that's something that when we launched this station, we made one of our mission statements around here is to do that. And I'm glad to see more people in on this and more support for it. And speaking of it, there's never been a better time than this session to launch it, because this is going to be, you just rolled out a couple of the big name stories out of this. There's going to be a lot going on.
There really will be. It's going to be a very interesting session. And for those that don't know, the way the legislative session works, they have a finite amount of time to meet. They can only meet for 30 legislative days, and they have 105 days to do it. So it's not like they can just go forever. And so you've got a limited amount of days. That's good. We don't want them to be there forever. It should be hard to make a law. But with so many issues on tap, man, they've got a lot to do in a short amount of time. We've talked a lot about infrastructure and the different gas tax proposals that we might see. Those are beginning to come a little bit more into relief as far as specificity, but it's still probably several weeks before we're going to see actual text. Of course, we've talked about the lottery, and specifically what the lottery might fund. That's still a question up in the air. Everybody seems to be happy with, okay, let's have a lottery. Nobody's against it. We're not, fewer people are against it than traditionally have been, but where does that money go? What do we actually need to fund in our state? We've got a prison system that is just falling apart. I mean, there's no other way to put it. It is a real problem. Our prisons are crumbling. We had the highest murder rate in our our prisons than we've had. They doubled over last year. So a lot of real troublesome issues facing the state, and a lot of brand new lawmakers there to address them, people that have never been in the state house before. So all that combines for, I think it's going to be a pretty interesting and dramatic session.
Yeah, and y'all pay attention to what's going on aldailynews.com and, of course, on this radio station, because you're listening to two folks here. They're going to make sure you get the information that you need. Then you can make your decisions from that. And remind folks, too, before we run to the news break, about the website and about subscribing for that newsletter.
Yeah, you said it. It's aldailynews.com. That's the website. And right there at the top, you can click subscribe, and it's free. If you give me your name and your email address, you'll be signed up for the daily news every day. And that'll come to your inbox somewhere in the 8 o'clock range. It's the rundown of all the day's news, whether that's from the State House in Montgomery or from the Capitol in Washington, D.C., or just really the biggest news stories happening this day. Invite you to sign up at aldailynews.com.
All right, y'all check it out. We're coming right back more with Todd Stacey, and we'll talk about some of those specific issues, because I think it's going to be important, too, what order they go in. Because, well, if you pass a lottery and the lottery funds this thing, maybe it's infrastructure, then would you argue the gas tax not needed? If gas tax comes first, can you say, well, that one's been taking care of the gas tax, so that can't be the lottery? And would anybody vote for a lottery to fund prisons? Really?
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 120 FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Reminder, Alabamian of the Year. The voting is down to the last four here. By tomorrow, it'll be two. By Friday, we will award this year's, 2018's Alabamian of the Year. The four that are left out of all those names, all those things, high-stepping turkeys, Clyde and Henrietta, are in on the mix, 26% of the vote. The former senator, former attorney general, Mobilian Jeff Sessions, 36%. Baldwin County's rabid foxes, 17%. And the drama between the Mobile City Council and Mayor Sandy Stimson at 21%. So keep voting today, unless you've already voted. Vote today, and then by tomorrow it'll be two, and then we'll work our way down. And Friday we will crown the Alabamian of the Year. So check it out. Front page of FMTalk1065.com. All right, continue our conversation with Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. And we're talking about the upcoming session, and you rolled out things. You said lotto, and you know, you talked about here's the lotto issue, here's the gas tax issue. I think let's just take those two. To me, there's some significance which one comes first, maybe, in the discussion, even though most likely it'll happen at the same time. But, you know, if you pass some kind of gas tax, then you could say, well, for sure the lotto is not going to be for infrastructure.
Yeah, well, you make a great point. It really matters how they line up the cars on the train, so to speak, because you're exactly right. If you put one thing first and it gets ahead of the other thing that is related, then, man, you've got a real mess on your hands. I do look for infrastructure to go very early, and here's the reason why. It is its own tax. Now, for about 10 years, they've been taking some of that tax away and giving it to public safety, and that will muddy the waters just a little bit because they'll get into that particular issue. But in every other regard, the gas tax goes directly toward road and bridge and, you know, port and all that infrastructure. It's a direct pass-through. The legislature doesn't even have to vote on it. So it's a singular thing that the legislature can go and mess with and you know, legislate on its own. So now, that being said, I do think you're going to have a bunch of different industries and lobbyists maybe saying, hey, well, if we're going to be raising a tax, we're going to be, you know, opening up the Pandora's box here. Let's put a little to my industry or my corner of the world. So you may deal with that, but I do look for infrastructure to go first. Now, when you talk about the lottery, you know, you were making the point before the break about prisons. Look, that's probably the one area of government that needs money the most. We're going to have a record funding in education next year, just like we had record funding last year. So, I mean, it's kind of a tough argument, you know, just realistically to go say, hey, let's go, you know, give a bunch more towards education when, you know, they're having record numbers of funding. So
you're killing me, Stacey. You have so much experience in Montgomery and Washington, and you know how this game works. Whether it was the most important thing on the triage list, you're telling me you're going to pass a lottery that's going to be the nation's first prison lottery? My foot, man. No way.
Oh, I don't think it's going to happen, but I think you're going to have a lot of questions. Let's say the lottery comes up just for debate. You're going to have a lot of questions from lawmakers who are going to say, well, look, I'm for a lottery. That's terrific. And yes, we should make sure that we fund scholarships or do whatever in education that, you know, whatever new thing that we need to do. But you're going to have plenty of lawmakers who understand the prison problems, understand the Medicaid problems, that are going to argue for, hey, let's get a cut over here. Let's get some of that lottery to fund these things. By no means do I think it's going to be a prison lottery or a Medicaid lottery, but I do think that some lawmakers are going to push for using that money to fund other portions of state government. And they better be honest about it, because the last thing you want to do is tell the voters that you're going to do education lottery and then, you know, siphon it off for prisons.
Yeah, and, you know, the second that happens, we'll also have Alabama, one of our, I don't know what we're up to now, 40-some-odd specialty license plates in the state. It'll be the Helping Alabama Prisons license plate will be out there. People can be the first on your block to get this.
Well, that the prisoners actually make.
Yeah, that's, you know, right. So. Make sure you get your handmade, prison-made Helping Alabama Prisons license plate.
Okay, go ahead.
No, I was just going to so roll with this though. I mean, is there a chance of having split beneficiaries on funding from a lottery? I mean, I don't know enough about lotteries to know if that's done elsewhere.
I think so, yeah. I mean, first of all, the big problem with the lottery is you've got diminishing returns over time. So you can't necessarily budget, you know, let's say $50 million for, you know, the scholarship fund every year, because most years, you know, going forward, eventually that money's going to run out. People just buy fewer lottery tickets. It's been proven in every state. So they'll have a lot of money up front, and then it'll diminish over time. So what exactly they fund with it, we'll see. But I do think you're going to have some kind of split beneficiaries. I don't think it'll go all toward education. Now, look, if you just polled voters right now and said, what do you want the lottery to go toward, 90% would say education, and that's fine. But these lawmakers deal with these budgets year in and year out, and they're tired of just being beat up by the problems that, you know, these funding problems that exist every year. Plus, adding on to the prison side, if we don't do something, we're under a court order right now, a federal court order, and if we don't do the things we're supposed to do to fix the problems, the overcrowding problems in the prisons, they can be taken over federally, and then we've got forced tax increases, and nobody wants that.
And so, prisoners released, right, if it's any analog to California.
That's exactly right. So both those things. Imagine, you know, yeah, we're going to let these, you know, thousands of prisoners out of jail and automatic tax increases. I mean, that's no good. And so some of these legislators, they can see that coming, and they would very much like to avoid that train wreck. So we'll see. You know, part of proving to the courts that hey, we're doing something about the prison problem is, you know, allocating more money toward it. And they have. I think over the last 2 years, $85 million has been allocated toward those problems. And so we've told the judge, hey, look, we're trying. But if we go and pass a lottery to fund, you know, $175 million towards something else and none of it goes toward prisons, I think the judge might say, hey, hang on a second.
Right.
You're not exactly doing everything you can here.
But if you're trying to get something done politically, get it passed, get the sentiment of the people to come out to either give the right of referendum or to, you know, go ahead and vote on something like this, then it's always about kids, even though it probably shouldn't be in some cases, but that's how you sell this, right? If you love children, then you love the lottery.
That's exactly right. And think about people that want to go and buy a lottery ticket. It's a lot easier, you know, just to go and buy that lottery ticket if you're thinking, well, hey, you know, I may not win, but I'm helping the kids.
That's right.
You know, maybe it's a little bit of a waste of money, but I got a chance to win, and I'm helping the kids.
Yep.
It's not exactly that same thing with prisoners. Nobody's going to go into the store and say, hey, you know, $20 toward the scratch-off, and, you know, if I don't win, at least I'm helping the inmates, you know? So that's not how politics works. So they do have a problem or a tough issue on their hands. It's not going to be an easy thing.
So let's talk about the other one here, the Medicaid expansion. That hasn't gotten as much discussion.
You know, I talk to people all the time that honestly say that they think a Medicaid expansion is within a year. And I just don't see it, Sean. I don't see it coming within a year. And that comes from me talking with Governor Ivey during the campaign. I guess this was early October. And look, she had a laundry list of things that she wanted to go do first. And she doesn't deny that there is a Medicaid issue and that we've got some problems and that expansion is a possibility down the road. But, you know, she was clear that she wants to pursue cost savings and other savings mechanisms before that. And I just don't think that that's going to happen within a year. Now, I could be wrong, and something could happen, and she could decide to expand it, and the legislature could decide to fund it, but I just don't see that happening within a year. There are a lot of people that want to do it because they believe it could save some of these, you know, rural hospitals and get more people covered, but realistically, I just don't see it within a year.
All right. As always, we will wait to talk to you again very soon. Remind folks, if they want to get this kind of information we're talking about here in their inbox each morning, how do they do it?
Just go to aldailynews.com, sign up. You Click the subscribe button right there at the top. Sign up with your name and email. It's free. It's easy. And it'll be in your inbox about 8 o'clock every morning.
There we go. Todd, and I'm excited about the new addition of the staff. And we'll be talking a whole bunch about session with you and Mary coming up in this spring. So thank you,
Absolutely.
Man.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. Coming right back, more of Midday Mobile. The President Trump is in a kind of a long form here, Q&A with the media on the Battle Royale. That's, you know, he's meeting with the Democrats who are back from vacation. The president stayed there working over the holidays. Will they arrive at a deal? I mean, it's a long way in the political world. In real dollars in Washington, it's not a long way. But politically, from what the Democrats have said, they would give $1.3 billion to the president's $5 billion. That chasm is Grand Canyon-like when it comes to political capital. How will that be played? Try to get some commentary from President Trump when we come back right here on Midday Mobile.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 134 FM Talk 106.5, and we'll get to the presser from just a little bit earlier as President Trump meets with the cabinet, talks about the shutdown, talks about trying to work something out with Democrats. It's also a new year, and it's a good time to say hello to my buddy Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry, and let's talk about some precious metal. Hey, man.
How's it going, John?
Good, good. Yeah, you were telling me back to the payment for... explain this. So there's spot price and what people pay. How does that all work?
So the spot price is essentially the market price on contracts. Like when you look at stocks or bonds or commodities, that's on these, you know, big players that are moving large sums of money back and forth. But that's not you or I. We're not buying 5,000 ounces of gold or silver at a pop. We want to buy 1 or 2 ounces. You come by a place like Mobile Bay Coins, and you're going to see a piece of silver that we might be selling for $1.25 over that spot price. And then we also buy stuff as well. Right now, I really need a lot of silver, so we're actually paying spot or even over spot for certain types of silver bullion.
Okay, so this is if somebody was considering selling, this is obviously the reason to come by now.
Well, definitely a good time on two accounts. Number one, gold and silver prices are up. That spot price, which is the bar we set at, that price has gone up. So that bar has been raised, and we're paying closer to that bar or even over that bar than we have before. So definitely the time to sell. And hey, those Christmas bills are going to be coming in. What better time to get some money and pay those down before you get hit with all those interest charges?
Wise move, for sure. Tell folks how to come find you.
Yeah, we're in Midtown at 2204 Government Street. You can always call us at 725-1590. Or go into Facebook and like and follow Mobile Bay Coins there.
Well, do, Angelo. Thank you, man. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Sean.
Angelo checking in for Mobile Bay Coins. Yeah, go see them today. All right, let's get to this. President talking about the government shutdown, plans here for possible negotiation. Let's get to it. This is from just a little bit earlier, President Trump.
Look forward to meeting with the folks from and the new leadership in Pakistan. We'll be doing that in the not-too-distant future. But I ended the $1.3 billion that we paid like it was water. We just pay it to Pakistan. So I ended that. And we ended a lot of other money that's being sent out on a monthly basis and a yearly basis to countries that don't even vote for us in the United Nations. We give them billions of dollars. They don't even vote for us in the United Nations. When we want something to help certain countries. And, you know, it's not all about the rich countries, because the rich countries really do take advantage of us, because they pay a very small percentage of their military. And they cheat on trade. They take advantage of us on trade. Other than that, they're wonderful, okay? But there are countries that are poor, that we will come. We 1%. They're paying 1%. They should be paying even more than that. Other countries pay a small percentage of what they should be paying. So, you know, when I say, I'm sorry, folks, you have to pay up, I shouldn't be popular in Europe. They do a poll. I was at 88%, and now I'm at, you know, very low number. In Europe, I don't care about Europe. I'm not elected by Europeans. I'm elected by Americans and by American taxpayers, frankly. So, you know, I think my relationship, I will tell you, with the leaders of Europe is very good. A lot of them don't even understand how they got away with it for so many years. I'll say to Angela, and I'll say to many of the other leaders, I'm friends with all of them, I'll say, how did this ever happen? And they sort of go like, I can't believe it either. They can't believe it. You know why? Because they had presidents and other people within administrations in the past that allowed them to get away. Like, some of them would say, well, no one ever asked us to pay. We have negotiations going on with numerous countries right now to pay a lot of money to the United States for what we're doing for them. I wouldn't say they're thrilled, because they've had many, many years where they didn't have to pay. So now they're going to have to pay. And if that makes me unpopular in those countries, that's okay. But we're doing tremendous service to those countries, and they should at least respect us. They didn't respect us, and that was the problem. Go ahead.
Thank you.
You treat me so nicely, I have to give him a second.
No, I appreciate it, Mr. President. I want to follow up. Maybe the military has an angle here, or a possible...
They have no angle. I know the angles. I know every angle. No, they have no angle. The military, under past leadership, including for many years, was taken advantage of by other countries, allies and not allies. They were taken advantage of. And our country has to be respected. We're not respected when we do that. When horrible things are happening on trade, where we have barriers put up, where we have tariffs put on, and we open our country up, we just open it up, where cars are sent into our country with virtually no tax, no nothing, and yet they won't accept our cars. When cars are sent in and they pay no tax, but we're expected to pay 25, 40, 50%, and we pay nothing. I'll be honest with you, it's just not in my DNA. I don't know how people allowed that, in my position, allowed these things to happen. And we're not allowing it to happen anymore. I could be the most popular person in Europe. I could run for any office if I wanted to, but I don't want to. I want people to treat us fairly, and they're not. And it's not, there's no angles. There's nothing to do. You know, when a country sends us 200 soldiers to Iraq, or sends us 100 soldiers from a big country to Syria or to Afghanistan, and then they tell me 100 times, oh, we sent you soldiers. And that's 1/100th of the money that they're taking advantage of. They're just doing that to make me happy, or to make past presidents happy. I've heard past presidents, well, they're involved in the Afghanistan war because they sent us 100 soldiers. And yet it's costing us billions and billions of dollars. I mean, I could give you an example where I get along very well with India and Prime Minister Modi, but he's constantly telling me he built a library in Afghanistan. Okay, a library. That's like, you know what that is? That's like 5 hours of what we spend. And he tells it, and he's very smart. And we're supposed to say, oh, thank you for the library. I don't know who's using it in Afghanistan, but one of those things. But I don't like...
show up to negotiate with...
Maybe we have lost the feed here. Let's see.
I endorsed him. He thanked me very profusely. It was very nice. But I am surprised, because we've done a lot. And he actually says it. I read his op-ed. He said it. You know, he agrees. And I don't think he would be able. I don't think anybody would have been able to do the tax
cuts.
Okay,
he's on. Okay, after they dropped out, we're back to the presser here. And here's President Trump, I think, talking about Mitt Romney.
The end of the world. And we're subsidizing their militaries by billions and billions and billions of dollars. Many, many, many times what those soldiers cost that country.
Did you hear about the Mitt Romney op-ed? What's your reaction to it? If you heard about it, he wrote an op-ed.
Well, I wish Mitt could be more of a team player. You know, I'm surprised he did it this quickly. I was expecting something, but I was surprised he did it this quickly. And, you know, look, I endorsed him. He thanked me very profusely. It was very nice. But I am surprised, because we've done a lot. And he actually says it. I read his op-ed. He said it. You know, he agrees. And I don't think he would be able, I don't think anybody would have been able to do the tax cuts like I did. We got the greatest tax cuts ever. We got Anwar approved in the tax cuts. We got rid of the individual mandate, which essentially is repeal and replace of Obamacare, because that case from Texas should win in the Supreme Court. I mean, it only was kept, Obamacare. It was only kept because of the individual mandate. Now that that's gone, I don't know how you can possibly keep it. So that's repeal and replace. John McCain voted against it. After campaigning for many years, John McCain voted against it. He went thumbs down, and that was the end of that. For many years, it was repealed and replaced, and then at 2 o'clock in the morning, he went thumbs down. So I'm a very flexible guy. We were part of that lawsuit, as you know. And a great judge, highly respected from Texas, said the individual mandate's out. That means that we should win at the Supreme Court, where this case will go. Now, when we do, we will sit down with the Democrats and we will come up with great health care. Far better. Far better. We'll have everything included. We'll have everything included. Far better, because Obamacare is too expensive. The premiums are way too high, and the deductibles don't exist. I mean, the deductibles, you can't even use it. The deductible's so high, unless you get hit by a tractor, you can't even use it. Nobody's ever seen anything like it. The deductibles are so high. Obamacare is a tremendous failure. But now that we won the individual mandate, and that's it, which, by the way, was by far the most unpopular. It was by far the most unpopular thing in Obamacare. So with Mitt Romney, I'd love him to be a team player. Possibly he won't be. I'm surprised he acted so quickly. I gave him an endorsement. I was happy that he won. In Utah, I have great popularity in Utah. I love the people of Utah. I did something for them that nobody else would have done. That has to do with their parks, as you know. That was a big day, a big thing. And we did that for a very special person who is now going to be retiring after 42 years. You know who I'm talking about. Our great friend, our great senator, who's really a spectacular man. And also for Mike Lee, who really pressed it very hard. So Orrin Hatch and Mike Lee. And the people of Utah really appreciate what I did for them. Hundreds and hundreds of miles of park that they'll be able to now use as opposed to not. And so I was surprised at Mitt Romney, but I just hope he's going to be a team player. And if he's a team player, that'll be great. I will say this. If he fought really hard against President Obama, like he does against me, he would have won the election. Does that make sense to you? If he fought the way he fights me, I'm telling you, he would have won the election. But I think he's going to end up being a team player. I think he agrees with many of the things that we've done and many of the things that we have in mind, and we'll see what happens.
In Afghanistan, you have won ISIS in Syria, but in Afghanistan, Taliban is gaining ground. And you mentioned India about it. What role do you want India to
play? Well, I think India should be involved in Afghanistan. I'll give you an example. You can talk about our generals. I gave our generals all the money they wanted. They didn't do such a great job in Afghanistan. They've been fighting in Afghanistan for 19 years. General Mattis thanked me profusely for getting him $700 billion. He couldn't believe it. General Mattis thanked me even more the following year when I got him $716 billion. He couldn't believe it because our military was depleted. Now we're rebuilding our military. We're getting, in fact, Pat was very responsible for a lot of the orders for the new F-35 fighter jets and F-18s and all of the things we're doing, including ships and missiles and everything. But General Mattis was so thrilled. But what's he done for me? How has he done in Afghanistan? Not too good. Not too good. I'm not happy with what he's done in Afghanistan, and I shouldn't be happy. But he was very happy. He was very thankful when I got him $700 billion, and then the following year, $716 billion. So, I mean, I wish him well. I hope he does well. But as you know, President Obama fired him, and essentially so did I. I want results.
So India is going to be more security-related, or...?
We're going to do something that's right. We are talking to the Taliban. We're talking to a lot of different people. But here's the thing, because you mentioned India. India is there. Russia is there. Russia used to be the Soviet Union. Afghanistan made it Russia because they went bankrupt fighting in Afghanistan, Russia. So you take a look at other countries. Pakistan is there. They should be fighting, but Russia should be fighting. The reason Russia was in Afghanistan was because terrorists were going into Russia. They were right to be there. The problem is it was a tough fight. And literally, they went bankrupt. They went into being called Russia again, as opposed to the Soviet Union. You know, a lot of these places you're reading about now are no longer part of Russia because of Afghanistan. But why isn't Russia there? Why isn't India there? Why isn't Pakistan there? Why are we there? We're 6,000 miles away. But I don't mind. We want to help our people. We want to help other nations. You do have terrorists, mostly Taliban, but ISIS. I mean, I'll give you an example. So Taliban is our enemy. ISIS is our enemy. We have an area that I brought up with our generals 4 or 5 weeks ago where Taliban is here, ISIS is here, and they're fighting each other. I said, why don't you let them fight? Why are we getting in the middle of it? I said, let them fight. They're both our enemies. Let them fight. Sir, we want to do it. They go in and they end up fighting both of them. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. I think I would have been a good general, but who knows? But you know what? These are two enemies that are fighting against each other, and we end up going in and fighting. And what are we doing? But I say this, India, great relationship with Prime Minister Modi. He's a great gentleman and a great man, and he's done a fantastic job. He's brought the country together. India, Russia, you look at some of the satellite countries that are extremely wealthy with oil surrounding. I mean, I spoke to some of them. I said to a certain country, very rich country, what would you do if the United States pulled out? Oh, we'd be taken over by the Taliban and terrorists. I said, then why are you charging us when we have to use your country to send product through? Why are you charging us when we send airplanes over your country? We're doing the job for you. Why are you charging us? He said to me, very great gentleman, smart. He said to me, well, nobody ever asked me not to. I said, I'm asking you not to. He said, we will not charge you. And I'm talking about millions and millions of dollars. Flights over his country. But I said to him, what would happen if we weren't here? And he looks at me and he goes, we would be overrun. We could not defend ourselves. And yet he charges us, but he doesn't charge us anymore. Okay, yeah, please, Jeff.
President, you used the word slowly when you were describing the withdrawal from
Yeah, I never said fast or slow.
What's your timetable? When do you want troops to be out?
I know, somebody said 4 months, but I didn't say that either. I'm getting out. We're getting out of Syria. Look, we don't want Syria. Obama gave up Syria years ago when he didn't violate the red line. I did when I shot 59 missiles in, but that was a long time later. And when President Obama decided not to violate his statement that never crossed the red line, and then they did, he didn't do anything about it. You know, making a threat is okay, but you always have to follow through with the threat. If you're going to make that threat, you can't make a threat and then do nothing. So Syria was lost long ago. It was lost long ago. And besides that, I don't want, we're talking about sand and death. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about, you know, vast wealth. We're talking about sand and death. Now, the Kurds, it's very interesting. Turkey doesn't like them. Other people do. I didn't like the fact that they're selling the small oil that they have to Iran. And we asked them not to sell it to Iran. But the Kurds, our partners, are selling oil to Iran. We're not thrilled about that. Okay? I'm not happy about it at all. At the same time, they fight better when we fight with them. You know, when we send 30 F-18s in front of them, they fight much better than they do when we don't. And you've seen what's happened. But we want to protect the Kurds, nevertheless. We want to protect the Kurds. But I don't want to be in Syria forever. It's sand, and it's death. And when we kill ISIS, if we don't, now everyone says, oh, then they'll come to our country. Well, that's possibly true, a very small percentage. But you know where else they're going? To Iran, who hates ISIS more than we do. They're going to Russia, who hates ISIS more than we do. So we're killing. And then I read when we pull out, oh, Russia's thrilled. Russia's not happy. You know why they're not happy? Because they like it when we're killing ISIS, because we're killing them for them. And we're killing them for Assad. And we're killing ISIS also for Iran. And just while we're on Iran, because, you know, people don't like to write the facts, Iran is a much different country than it was when I became president. Iran, when I became president, I had a meeting at the Pentagon with lots of generals. They were like from a movie, better looking than Tom Cruise and stronger. And I had more generals than I've ever seen. And we were at the bottom of this incredible room. I said, this is the greatest room I've ever seen. I saw more computer boards than I think that they make today. And every part of the Middle East and other places that was under attack because of Iran. And I said to myself, wow. I mean, you look at Yemen, you look at Syria, you look at every place. Saudi Arabia was under siege. They were all, I mean, they wanted Yemen because of the long border with Saudi Arabia. That's why they're there, frankly. But every place was under siege. And I actually asked a question. How do you stop these people? They're all over the place. They had plenty of money. President Obama had just given them $150 billion. He just gave them $1.8 billion in cash. I'm still trying to figure that one out, Mick. Gave them $1.8 billion in cash, plane loads of cash. I mean, cash from five different countries. You know why from five different countries, Jeff? Because we didn't have enough cash in the tri-state area to give them $1.8 billion. So they had to use the currency of other countries. That's the real reason. So with all of that being said, I did something called terminate the horrible Iran nuclear deal, which, by the way, in 8 years gives Iran the legal right to have nuclear weapons, okay? I did it. Iran is no longer the same country. Iran is pulling people out of Syria. They can do what they want there, frankly, but they're pulling people out. They're pulling people out of Yemen. Iran wants to survive now. Iran was a power in the Middle East. They were going to take over the whole Middle East. They were going to take over everything. That was what they wanted to do, and destroy Israel while they're at it. Iran is a much different country right now. They're having riots every week in every city, bigger than they've ever had before. Their currency is under siege, thanks to us. A lot of bad things are happening. When we do all of the things that we've done monetarily to Iran, Iran is in trouble. And you know what? I'd love to negotiate with Iran. They're not ready yet, I don't think. But they will be. But Iran is a much different country right now, Jeff, than it was when I took over. When I took over 2 years ago, Iran was going to take over the Middle East and who knows when, and they were going to have all the nuclear weapons they wanted in a very short period of time because of that stupid deal. When I terminated that deal and then did what I had to do, Iran is a much different country today than it was 19 months ago, that I can tell you.
You just say they're on the timetable for withdrawing troops. Do you think it's...
I think it's just over a period of time, but we're withdrawing. But we're hitting them. We're hitting them very hard. When I met with the generals in Iraq, I said to a couple of the generals, I said, why did you do this before? He said, sir, our commanders were telling us what to do. I said, well, don't you tell them? No, sir, we take orders. And they do. You know, they're great soldiers. They listen. I do it differently. I sat around, and after a few minutes, they loosened up and they said, this is what we should do. But we were supposed to be out of Syria many years ago. If you remember, we went to Syria for some spot hits, and that was 5 years ago, and we never left. I don't want to be in Syria. I go to Walter Reed Hospital, and I see soldiers that are so badly injured and hurt. I don't want that. I don't want it. And I want to rebuild our country. And I want to spend money on our military without depleting it every day. I want to spend money on our country. And that's what's happening. And our military is getting really strong. I could tell you stories when I first got here about our military that I don't even want to talk about. I don't even want to talk about. And one of the things I've told the secretary and other people, we do these reports on our military. Some IG goes over there, who mostly appointed by President Obama, but we'll have ours too. And he goes over there, and they do a report telling every single thing that's happening, and they release it to the public. What kind of stuff is this? We're fighting wars, and they're doing reports and releasing it to the public. Now, the public means the enemy. The enemy reads those reports. They study every line of it. Those reports should be private reports. Let them do a report. But they should be private reports and be locked up. And if a member of Congress wants to see it, he can go in and read it. But for these reports, criticizing every single thing, and even in some cases saying good, perhaps. But for these reports to be leased, to give it out, essentially, forget about the pup, given out to the enemy, is insane.
And all right, we are out of time for Midday Mobile for today. Of course, we'll talk more about the president's presser on tomorrow's Mobile Mornings, starting at 6. So be here for that. Paul Feinbaum on the way next. If you've been out of the loop, there's a game coming up on Monday. It's Alabama and Clemson. I imagine that'll dominate the conversation. Feinbaum on the way. See y'all in the morning.